Jesus says, I am the gate or the door. Whatever translation you may have, some will say gate and some will say door. The questions that remain in many people's minds today is, how do I gain God's favor? What can I do to receive eternal life? I want to be immortal. I don't want to die. We know that physically we have to die one day. But it is appointed for man once to die, the Bible says. We cannot get around that. But what do we have to do to get eternal life? Today, perhaps more than ever, people are searching for that undiscovered way, a door, means, or belief system that will put them in the position of special favor, of appeasement before God, our Creator. It's a searching for something that is empty in their hearts, a longing. A connection that they seem to notice they don't have. And that connection is eternal life. And Jesus says, I am that connection. I am the door to eternal life. First he says, I am the gate to the sheepfold. At Jesus' time, the sheep industry was probably one of the most lucrative. Everyone was familiar with the practices and the work and methods of tending sheep. And when Jesus told this symbolic type of language that he used, the people understood what he was talking about. And he could relate to that. He said, I am the gate. The sheep had to be watched during the day, and it was easier during the day because of daylight, and the sheep wouldn't be so easily lost. At night, they had to be driven or led into the sheepfold. And there were many shepherds with many herds of sheep, and they would often share this one big sheepfold. And it had a large fence around it, often a wooden fence or stone fences. And there was a gate, and the gatekeeper was there. They had to sometimes, if they were hiring the sheepfold, they had to pay a fee to have their sheep at night in the sheepfold, because there was always somebody watching over the sheep, even over the sheepfold. So the gatekeeper was very important. He made sure that the sheep were in. He made sure that how many sheep belonged to the shepherd. But then inside the fold, they were all mingling. They were all like one big herd. So in the morning, as the shepherds came in to get their sheep, they would call them by name. And everyone that called their sheep by name, the sheep would come to them. Isn't that beautiful? They would recognize the voice of the shepherd, and the sheep would come to them, and then he would go in front of them and lead them out to pastures where it was nice and good. And during the time of day, the shepherd would guide the sheep, would watch over them, and to make sure that they wouldn't eat anything poisonous or that no wild animal would come and try to steal one of them or destroy them. So Jesus says, that's him. He says, I am the gate to the sheep, and I am also the shepherd of the sheep. I own the sheep. They are mine, and they know my voice, he said. So Jesus is the door, the opportunity to the spiritual sheepfold. How does a person enter the church, the kingdom of God? I once heard a story, a church member had died, and the minister said at the grave, "Now our brother has gone through the narrow gate." And I thought, hold it, hold it. Spiritually, we go through the narrow gate and through belief in Jesus Christ, not the grave. The grave is not the narrow gate. That is just where our remains are buried until the day of resurrection. But as Jesus said that I am the door, meaning that we cannot enter the kingdom of God or the church, become a true member of Christ's body without going through the door of Jesus Christ. Not baptism, not church attendance, not a formal church membership. Or you may think, well, if I take communion, maybe then I'm a member of God's church. No, we must enter through the gate, through Jesus Christ. He is the entrance to his kingdom, to his church. People often get offended when Christians, when we believers claim that Jesus is the only door. Well, that's what we believe because he said so. He said, I am the shepherd. He says, I am the gate or the door. He didn't say I'm one of many doors. Wouldn't it be nice that we had, say, five or more ways to heaven? Wouldn't it be nice that some of the people that say this, that they are right to believe that you know, there's other ways to heaven than Jesus Christ? Many people believe that. And I've heard even Christians say, well, I can hardly accept this fact that we would claim that Jesus is the only way. Well, you have to argue with Scripture on that. He is the only one. Let's consider this. Buddha didn't die for the sins of his followers. The other, Muhammad, he didn't die for the sins of his followers. Jesus died for our sins. He gave the sacrifice that no one else could give. He was the Lamb of God, the chosen Lamb of God. From before the world was created, he was already chosen to be the Lamb of God, to be the sacrifice for you and me. So why would we say, well, there should be other ways to heaven as well? This is very important for us. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus adds something there very profound in John chapter 14, verse 6. You know how it goes? And no one comes to the Father except through me. Only way, Jesus Christ. To him, all praise in all eternity. He is the door. And if we focus on Jesus Christ and him sacrificed for our sins and believing, and we keep believing that he has given us this way, this opportunity, because a door always gives us opportunities. He is the door to our salvation. Jesus is appointed by God to be the Savior of the world. He is appointed so that you and I can get rid of our guilt and our shame and our sin. We don't have to take that, live with a bad conscience. We don't have to live with a burden of guilt and shame throughout our lives. That's not God's will, because Jesus came and he said, I am the door to salvation. I will set you free. Many people are looking for someone or a church to heal their wounds. Many people really complain that their wounds have never been healed and that they never have found forgiveness. Maybe you need closure about things that happened to you in the past. Jesus is the answer. He is the door to your healing. He is the door to your forgiveness, to your peace. Why seek salvation anywhere else? Peter said this, "There is no other name under heaven in which we shall be saved." So Peter too was so narrow-minded, if you will, that he said, "There's no other name, only the name of Jesus through which you and I can be saved, forgiven, and healed." And when I say healed, Jesus has complete healing for all of us. Our souls, our minds, our emotions sometimes need healing. That's what Jesus is there for. So Jesus says, if anyone enters through me, he shall be saved. Saved from what? I want to touch on that again. Get saved from our sins, not in our sins, but from our sins. That the old life is gone, and behold, everything has become new. From the guilt of our sins, from our iniquities. This is what reminds us in this Easter time, in this Lent season, if you will, so much that Jesus came to set us free from our guilt. But there's another thing that Jesus came to set us free of. And that is from the wrath of God. We say, Pastor, you know, no, but God would not pour out his wrath on anyone. He loves everybody. He loves all the sinners. No, we are actually under the wrath of God until we come to Jesus. And if we leave Jesus Christ, if we cut our relationship off from Jesus Christ, we are back under the wrath of God. That's what the Bible teaches. Jesus spoke harshly to the Pharisees and said, "You are wrong leaders. You are thieves and robbers." They were abusing their followers. And that's why he was so hard on them. So all unbelievers, all rebellious people against God and against the gospel are actually under the wrath of God, meaning that the threat of eternal damnation is above them. And unless they come to Christ, that wrath will come on all unrighteousness, because God is a holy God. God cannot accept sin or sinners into heaven. Former sinners, yes, but we must come. I say we must. We need to come to Jesus Christ. He is the door of our salvation. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. Listen to this. He also talked about the gate. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. Everything has room on the way of destruction. Some translations say perdition. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. What a comparison here. He talks about a narrow way, a small gate, in comparison to the world, in comparison where everything goes. Jesus has this one thing and one thing only in mind: everlasting life with the Father. And that's the next thought I want to touch on. Jesus is the door to eternal life and eternal bliss. One day in heaven, we will look back and say, how glad am I that Jesus Christ died for me so I can be in eternity, for all eternity, in the presence of God and the presence of all the saints and all the angels. Verse 1 says, "Very truly I say, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers," he says. And then in verse 10, "The thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy." That's the tactic of Satan up to this day. He wants to steal from us. He wants to steal from us the hope that we have. He wants to steal from us all the joy that we have. Oh, how Satan is a joy stealer. He has taken away so much joy from the Christians in the past. And then he kills our desire to follow Christ. He wants to kill every longing that we have. He wants to kill any hope that we have in Christ. And then he wants to destroy our hope, destroy our faith. And even for young people and children, this is so important. Satan is out there as a thief and as a robber. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, if you keep listening to my voice, I will lead you to eternal life. He brings us to the point where we find pasture, the best spiritual food. In the Gospels, in the Psalms, it draws us closer to God. It cleanses our thoughts, and we come close to the shepherd. And the more you and I study and read the scriptures, the more we will be able to hear his voice. And when a strange voice comes up, we will notice, right away notice, this is not of God. Have you ever had that? You had a thought, and you know, well, this is strange. Why am I thinking this? And you need to then discern, and suddenly you realize this is not the voice of the shepherd. This is the voice of the enemy. He wants to deceive me. He wants to discourage me. He wants me to believe something that is wrong. And then we can come to the Lord and say, Lord, I embrace your word. I am focused to listen to your voice only. There are many voices today, and you can pick and choose which one you want to listen to. But I choose, and I want to choose for the rest of my life to listen to the voice of the shepherd, Jesus Christ. He said in verse 10, I came that they, the sheep, may have life, and they would have it more abundantly. Oh, you can study this all week long. I give eternal life to them in verse 28. And they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. As long as you keep close to the Lord, there is nothing and no one that can prevent you from going to heaven. Praise God. It sounds like a preach on eternal security. Yes, we are secure in Jesus Christ if we stay faithful to him and we love him. Jesus Christ is the door to heaven. And this is one moment. You know what? When you get to that point, as the songwriter goes, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. You come to the gates of heaven, and when Jesus greets you, that will be the moment that you can say, this was worth even dying for. Because for all eternity, to be with Jesus our Lord, to be in the presence of the heavenly hosts, where there's no more tears, no more pain, no more suffering, and no more sorrow, and no more departing, and no more death, no strife, no sickness. Where there's joy, love, and peace. You know, love will always be there. Even the spiritual gifts, one day they will end here on earth. But love will always be there. And to sing with the heavenly choirs, I can't wait to see and hear that and experience that. And then you will say, it was worth it all. May God bless us and help us. Jesus is the door to that eternal life, to that eternal bliss. Did you accept him yet? Do you know today that Jesus is your Lord? Can you say today, I am following him, I'm listening to his voice, I am obeying him? If you can say that, praise God, that's wonderful. But if you can't say that, make sure you make that decision today. I want to go through that narrow gate. I want to go to the eternal bliss. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to miss it for anything. May God bless you and help you. Amen.